Benjamin Franklin was ahead of his time, or he's behind.
Primitive but economical.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and today is December 12, 2012. So it's 12-12-12. Three 12s. It's bingo or something. Anyways, it's three 12s, and you most likely will be listening to this on 12-13-12. So, yeah, take it as you will. Anyways, so what is happening today on Radio DMG? Well, we're going to start this out with a little bit of newsity, just a little bit. The announcement of what we're doing for our Christmas special type thing, an award show, I guess. We'll call it the Gold Thingies. Actually, we might have something for Christmas, and it has to do with what we refer to as the musical rations. We're going to have, in this episode, three interviews, two musical rations, and some newsity. So this is going to be kind of a long, wild ride. So grind those headphones into your ear holes and prepare yourself, prepare your body for the intrusion that is Radio DMG. It's all right. Don't worry. Relax. Don't struggle. You'll like it. Welcome back to Radio DMG. We're about to kick off some fresh newsity with your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like Mountain Dew, but I am drinking some delicious tentacle grape. And I want to tell you that that just makes game journalism all that much better. Life's more fun with grape. Since you can't really hear me drinking normally, I'm just going to slurp that. Slurp that. Excuse me. Sorry. But the best way to shuffle down tentacle grape is perfect for washing away some nacho cheese. Doritos! Doritos! Journalism, bitches! Oh yeah! Anyways, get all that tasty Dorito Dorito dust off my fingers. Anywho, let's get down to the newsity. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, there was a Nintendo Direct in which Nintendo announced a whole bunch for their quasi-handheld, the Wii U, that we already knew. And then they failed to announce a release date for Animal Crossing New Leaf. They announced that Luigi's Mansion 2 was delayed again. And they showed off Fire Emblem and Brain Training, which, actually, the new Brain Training, this is going to sound a little bad, but I get what Nintendo's going at. I get where they're going. Excuse me. Oh, Doritos. They're even better coming up. Pay me. Anyways, what they're doing is what the whole concept for the brand new brain training, focus training. And after all this stuff, okay, I believe that Nintendo, with all the stuff that they've done with the DS and with the motion controls and with the Wii U, is that they're trying to get us to a point where video games, or rather these systems and things, that were better at multitasking and such. Now, they're putting out a game that's intended to help you focus more. It's kind of a little weird because they feel like, well, okay, everyone has cell phones and TVs and distractions and all this other stuff, that it's hard to occasionally focus in on one thing unless you have a level of high-functioning autism. Like, Asperger's syndrome is where, like, you know, you have, people have trouble focusing on a lot of things at once, so they focus on one item. So, actually, since Asperger's syndrome is just, they got rid of it recently. Instead, it's now considered a high-functioning level of autism. And I've always believed that extra focus on one item, I mean, yeah, there's some social awkwardness in this, and there is some coordination problems, but the ability to intensely focus on one item, I don't think that's a bad thing. But anyways, neither does Nintendo. Nintendo is putting out concentration training. Essentially, it's brain training to help you with your focus, with your concentration. They're trying to help you through a couple exercises each day to focus on what you're doing and to be able to flush out distractions. What I did to help myself kind of focus out through things so that I can focus on something is I actually surrounded myself with distractions to try and boost my ability to not become annoyed as easily. I started, whenever my family was away, I started putting stuff on repeat. Like, for one day I had, Ode to Joy playing on the computer in the living room for about 48 hours straight. I had the whole house to myself for that time, and I put it on, and I just went about my day ignoring it, just learning to ignore it, even though it was loud and blaring and 48 hours straight. I would go eat breakfast, do all this stuff, wander out, go to work, come back, and it would still be on. I'd go to sleep with it on, and that's how I trained myself to block that out and focus on whatever I was normally doing. Now, we do kind of lose this stuff because we're doing so much multitasking, and sometimes it makes it hard for us to focus. So Nintendo wants to help us with that. I am actually excited about brain training. I know a lot of people are like, ah, brain training, I fell for that before. No, there's nothing wrong with brain training. Brain training is a good program. It's like Wii Fit. If you use the program, it's a good thing. Now, with this new one, focus training, I would really like to see how people with certain types of high-functioning autism use this software. I'm actually pretty excited about it, and I'm looking forward to playing it, or rather using it. I need to start care. I wish that they put the original Brain Training and Brain Training 2 as like some type of downloadable thing for the Nintendo 3DS so I could have them on there because I would use them. I find myself using Art Academy, the Lessons for Everyone thing more than I was expecting to ever use it. I find that these little productivity things actually are fun and they're interesting to add to a routine. I find that I walk more because I'm trying to get play coins, and I feel that concentration training should be interesting. I think we should all go to this concentration training that Nintendo has prepared for us. But yeah, that is pretty much one of the interesting surprises of that. They also announced that Harmonite, which is from Game Freak, will be coming to the United States. Harmonite is a rhythm game and a platform game, and it should be interesting. Not too much was announced. I mean, they pushed back Luigi's Mansion to spring 2013, which, by the way, is March, April, May, which means it's most likely quarter two. So when I was looking at this, I'm like, okay, we have Brain Training, Concentration Camp, and Fire Emblem in February. They didn't actually announce anything for 3DS in January. And as far as I can tell, there doesn't seem to be anything in March for the 3DS. And I was just like, wait, weird. They're still insisting that Animal Crossing is first quarter 2013. First quarter 2013 is January, February, March. So either January or March will be Animal Crossing, unless they update that and say that it's delayed. It did get delayed into quarter 2 2013 in Europe, which is April, May, June. I know, right? Yeah, it's January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Yeah, those are your four quarters, although in Japan there's only three quarters, and that's weird. But anyways, yeah. January and March appear to be wide open on the Nintendo 3DS schedule. And I guess they're waiting a little bit to announce something. I'm expecting to see another Nintendo Direct sometime before or after Christmas. Probably about a couple days. Probably after Christmas. I'm expecting one after Christmas. Which, oh, by the way, apparently Ninja Gaiden, the NES one, will finally be out on the eShop tomorrow. As well as Crimson Shroud, which looks to be a hardcore dice-based role-playing game. So, okay, from all sorts of people. It's part of that Guild 5 thing, or Guild 1 thing, I mean. And, yeah, that should be interesting. As far as the New City goes, there was that. There was a release of a bundle for the Nintendo 3DS XL that includes Mario Kart 7 pre-installed onto the SD card. Which, by the way, if you're transferring over from your 3DS to a 3DS XL, and the 3DS XL has already software on it, the software that was on it gets merged into your account. Meaning that I didn't already have a 3DS XL and I wanted a blue one. I would get the Mario Kart one and then merge I would use the little transfer thing to transfer everything from an older 3DS to that new one. Now, once I've done that and I've merged those and I've switched my SD cards, I can go to the eShop and re-download Mario Kart 7. So if you've been putting off getting a 3DS XL and you're interested in that particular bundle, go for it. You're okay. It's okay. You can do it. It will happen. And that's just the news on that. Oh yeah, they put out the pink and white one, which that is the 3DS XL that I will have to purchase for my mom whenever Animal Crossing comes out, because, I mean, it's quite frankly, it is the Hello Kitty 3DS XL. So, yeah. Also, sometime in January, we can all expect to see a new puzzle thing for Fire Emblem Awakenings. And I think late February, we'll have one for Luigi's Mansion 2 or Animal Crossing, depending. Anywho, that was pretty much it. The Nintendo Direct was not that eventful at all. Not at all. There's a bunch of releases announced for Europe, but most of the releases announced for Europe are stuff that we already had over here. So, yeah. The other, aside from Harmonite being finally, they were, where they're like, yeah, Harmonite's coming out here in the U.S. It's going to be good. There wasn't that much event. There wasn't anything really eventful about the Nintendo Direct. It was slow. In fact, the news is kind of slow. There has been a, they announced the release of Final Fantasy Theatrhythm on the iOS. Game Freak put out a Pokédex on the iOS. And the funny thing about those is, while each of those has a free version that you can download, that free version is severely gimped, and in order to get the rest of those, you'll be paying more than you would for these games on the 3DS or on the eShop. So I'm like, ha. Yeah. Anyways, that's about it. The CirclePad Pro XL came out in Japan, and I imported one, and it's amazing. And I'm going to be doing a video for that. We'll also be doing some more content, more video content in the future. And we will also be doing the Gold Thingy Awards, which, I was looking at what our category should be, and looking back at the year, we won't announce, like, the winners of these until, like, 2013, unless Lavos rises from the earth on the 21st, as foretold by the ancient Chrono Trigger, and, you know, rains destruction from the heavens down on us, and the only way to defeat this would be to go inside him and attack the right core. Yes, the core on the very far right. You have to get rid of the middle core and the left core in order for it to lower its defenses, and then just wail upon it with triple kick, or better yet, move Robo to a certain point in your party so that you can cast double level bomb on just that core, taking it out within a matter of turns. But yeah, back to the gold thingies. Anyways, we had it's a best of show, or rather, and we're gonna do like a biggest surprise, biggest letdown, best of DS, 3DS, best new boss, and rather best boss battle. Because, oh my gosh, there are some amazing ones on here. And, pretty much there's... Oh, best music is another one I wanted to do a lot of stuff with. Because I was like, there's been so much great stuff on the Nintendo DS and 3DS. Well, not so much the DS. I mean, there was Pokemon Black and White, too. And, thinking back to it, there really wasn't that much on, the DS, other than that, well, and Pokemon Conquest, and that's pretty cool, but, it has been all 3DS and, actually not even Vita, because, like, when we were looking for, like, best of, we decided to go ahead and eliminate ports. So I was like, well, let's see, that eliminates Plants vs. Zombies from the Vita, that eliminates, the Metal Gear Solid HD collection from the Vita, that eliminates quite a few things from that. That eliminates Tales of the Abyss for the Nintendo 3DS, and Metal Gear Solid 3D Snake Eater from the 3DS. And I was looking at this, and I was like, there, I would have come out and said Gravity Rush, but the more I played of Gravity Rush, the more I realized that Gravity Rush isn't a very good game. In fact, that's why I'm going to announce the nominees for the biggest letdown. The nominees for the biggest letdown of 2012 would be only three colors for the 3DS XL. No, the delays for Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion 2. I should be playing Luigi's Mansion 2 right now. The removal of all story stuff from Paper Mario Sticker Star, although that's not really that big of a disappointment because it's still a good game. Well, let's see. Yeah, so looking at it, I realize, yeah, the biggest letdown nominees are Animal Crossing Luigi's Mansion 2 delays, only three colors for 3DS XL, the PlayStation Vita, just the entirety of it. The support has been kind of awful. I just, there isn't anything on the Vita right now that I was just like, oh man, I bought this system because I wanted some of the games that were coming out for like, oh, it's like, oh gosh, Uncharted, that looks great. It was awful. Oh, Gravity Rush sounds good. No, it wasn't. Oh man. Just choked up here, Loa. I have to sip some of this wonderful tentacle grape. Nursed from love, ever-loving tentacles. Anyways, Resistance for the Vita? I was like, yeah, I liked Resistance Retribution. I was just like, oh man, everything here sounds like it's going to be great. Oh, then I realized that a lot of the games that I really, really wanted for it are ports. Mortal Kombat is good, but it's kind of a gimpy port of it. Rayman Origins, also a port. Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, a port. Virtue's Last Reward, surprising, but also a port. And the original lead console for that would be the 3DS. Or Retro City Rampage? It's a downscaled port of the PS3 version. And that makes me sad. What else did I want for... Persona 4 Golden. Excellent game. Port. And I'm like, wait. Where are my original PS Vita games? I mean, some of these ones that are out there, like, oh, Sound Shapes. No, that's kind of... meh. Oh, what about Little Deviants? Oh, God, no. What about, I'm disappointed with that. That's why it's really our lead contender for this. The other ones being, hey, D3, why did you not push back the release of this game in regards to Adventure Time, which I feel was only half-baked? Still a good game, and anyone who's a fan of that series will love this game, just... it feels too short, and that's the problem. And then the Animal Crossing Luigi's Mansion 2 delays. Animal Crossing was struck by what's referred to as, well, they needed a new type of saving thing for it, because you can customize everything in the game. You can customize everything in the game. It's insane. And because of that, it actually requires a different type of NAND memory, NAND memory. It requires SLC NAND memory, whereas everything else requires NAND memory. But this requires more memory because of the amount of save stuff for it. So they actually had shortages in Japan, and they had like an 8-minute video where Iwata came out and apologized, like, I'm sorry, there's a delay on physical stuff of this. If you guys could buy it digitally, that would be fine, because you know, digital. That said, I have every intention of buying Animal Crossing digitally, because, wow, all the stuff you can do in that game, man. I am actually excited about Animal Crossing. Part of that, I'm excited about brain training for all the scientific reasons. I'm excited about Animal Crossing because of all the ridiculous customization. What is wrong with me? Gah, that doesn't sound like hardcore gaming at all. Well, it's a good thing we don't make any bones about that, or like being hardcore gamers or whatnot. I shall crunch my Doritos and drink my tentacle grape. It's 7 out of 10, IGN. Ice. Anyways, back to the newsity. The other ones were like biggest surprise. Cave Story for the eShop to me was a bit of a surprise. And then the split version of Ika-chan, and then the announcement of Shantae 3. I'm just like, ah, yes! The extra levels for Mighty Switch Force, Mutant Muds, and New Super Mario Bros. 2, and most of those being free? That was just a complete surprise to me. Splitting up Guild 1 for the US, that was a surprise. The stand that comes in with Kid Icarus, I ended up buying another one of those because it is one of the most useful things. It is useful. I was like, This, I can achieve better scores with Elite B agents with this thing. I can, this makes so much, why wasn't this released before? It makes so much sense, especially on games that just use a touchscreen or expect you to, like, have the cradle in your hand or whatnot. If I'm sitting down at a desk, I can just be like, I can pull out the little stand there and do this. Or if I'm actually messing around with, like, Nintendo Video or Netflix on the thing, perfect. When I use it on the Vita. I use my Vita mostly for Netflix and stuff like that. And for podcasts and things. And I just set it up there. And the stand is amazing for that. The Circle Pad Pro was a lot more comfortable than I was expecting. The Circle Pad Pro XL is amazing. It's got these contoured grips to it. You can actually sit the Circle Pad Pro XL on the stand, and it works. It was just like, so much of this stuff was so good. I was really surprised with that. With Art Academy, it's amazing. Just good stuff. I don't know why they didn't put out the stand before. That was, to me, a bit of a surprise that I actually like that. Also, with all the stuff that people were saying about like New Super Mario Bros. 2, after getting to play it and spend some time with it, thank you, customers, I have to say that I appreciate it. It's actually pretty fun. The little Coin Rush stuff is pretty cool. I have Street Pass data for Coin Rush, and I don't even own a physical copy of the game. Anyways, yeah. But yeah, some other stuff, like when they announced Crash Mode, that was a bit of a surprise to me, and it's good stuff. But yeah, the surprises were, like, the best version of Cave Story, and then, like, extra levels, extra content. I like that. I like that a lot. When I was going through, like, Best of DS, 3DS, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's eligible this year. I mean, things like, for me anyways, I really liked Fun Mini Golf Touch, Mutant Muds, 3D Classics, Kid Icarus, which I'm not counting as a port because it's been rehashed to death to the point, and I'm not rehashed, I mean, it's been cooked differently. I almost don't have it. I almost didn't have it on this list because it is a 3D. Because it is Kid Icarus underneath it, but they've added so much to it. It's essentially if they put, let's pretend they put Kid Icarus on the Super Nintendo instead of the NES. That is what the 3D Classics Kid Icarus is. But that'll probably not stay on the list because, you know, it still kind of counts as a port. Anyways, stuff like Dylan's Rolling Western was surprising to me. Bomb Monkey was a lot more fun than I was expecting it to be. I was just like, I'll purchase this because I really want to support Renegade Kid. And this looks interesting. And Jules on Twitter is like talking about it. It looks interesting and I'll try it out. And I was like, well, okay, I'll play a little bit of this. Oh, wait. 2 hours later. Oh, yeah, this is a good game. That was good. Also, some of the stuff like, oh my god, Kid Icarus Uprising. Ugh. Right now, okay, let me just say right now that the top contenders for Game of the Year, in my opinion, for Best of the DS and 3DS, are things like Kid Icarus Uprising, Final Fantasy Theatrhythm, Resident Evil Revelations, and, well, I really, really like Mutant Muds. I mean, I beat it, got everything in it, and I'm working through the CGA levels that they added. And, yeah, that is one tough little cookie. And it's been a little tough for me to review the game because I like it so much. That's kind of a problem. But, yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, the amount of goodness. Like, for example, Harvest Moon 3D, A New Beginning. Really good game that I actually have not gotten to try any of. I'm almost tempted to, I don't know, dang. Because, well, apparently, it's a Harvest Moon where you're building the town around you. You can customize your characters in a whole bunch of different ways. They added and fixed a whole bunch of stuff that people complain about in Harvest Moon. It's just, wow, had I known all that stuff was in that new one, in Harvest Moon 3D, A New Beginning, I would have I would have special ordered two copies. Not special ordered. I would have pre-ordered two copies of that so I could actually get to play it. Because the amount of stuff that's in there, it's like the perfect appetizer before Animal Crossing. So if you're still sore about Animal Crossing, you should probably pick up Harvest Moon. Anyways, stuff like Virtue's Last Reward. Okay. Before that game came out, I hadn't finished all of 999 yet. I'd gotten the bad ending. One of the bad endings. The axe ending. And I was like, well, okay, I'll try through again. And then just the way everything clicks together in, like, the truant, the coffin ending, the submarine ending, the knife ending, all these ones, the way everything pulls together for the true ending, just mind exploding. Oh, so good. And so well written. But man, Virtue's Last Reward, it's great on the Vita, it's great on the 3DS. Definitely, I mean, the demo they have for the Vita doesn't really do the game any justice. And there's no demo out here in the US for the 3DS one. But the voice acting, for one, it's so great. Notary Game! Ambidex Edition! Oh, God. It's... If you're interested in games like... if you like games like Myst, but you want more... Like, okay, if you want more mature content in a game like Myst, if... Okay, let's see. I guess the best way to put it would be 999, nine hours, nine persons, nine doors, and Virtue's Last Reward, both part of the Zero Escape stuff. They're kind of like if somebody took the investigation parts of Phoenix Wright and Myst, and then added Saw to them, and then added some ridiculously hardcore sci-fi stuff. I mean, we're talking cloning and Ice Nine and time travel and like there is a ridiculous amount of stuff in the 999 or Zero Escape series that, well, if you're a fan of sci-fi and you're a fan of obscure science fiction stuff, oh, you're going to love this. I mean, the first one, the 999 has like this whole Titanic thing going for it. And that's actually kind of interesting. But Virtue's Last Reward has this crazy sci-fi futuristic stuff going for it where there's, they're just wonderful. And yeah, welcome to my kingdom, indeed. Virtue's Last Reward is a bit easier than 999, but that doesn't mean it's not just as good. And the new Professor Layton game, I hope to get my hands on that for some time, sometime soon. But yeah, that and Style Savvy, Trendsetters, which here's one of the best kept secrets about the Nintendo DS and the Nintendo 3DS. Style Savvy is actually really, really good. And the second Style Savvy can kind of help you learn how to dress yourself if you're a guy. I mean, because there's a part there where they go over guys' fashions, and yeah, it turns you into a little Anna Wintour type person, or however you pronounce her name, whatever. But, you know, at first when getting into it, I was like, well, maybe it's... first I thought it'd be kind of like a... this is a fashion game, blah, 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 blah. Turns out it's not a fashion game. It is a retail simulator. You put together your own fashion place, but you also run your own store. You're haggling with wholesalers and stuff. You're going through catalogs, dealing with customers, all who have the vaguest of interests or likes. It is a retail simulator, and anybody who's ever played retail, who's been in the retail business or worked as a sales associate in retail understands this game. It's interesting because you're also looking for different tells in people's personality or how they react, and the whole point of it is to deal with people and work with them in their budget so that you can make money off of them. And I'm just like, this is good stuff. Style Savvy's Trendsetters is just more of that, with like thousands and thousands of new items and things to go through. It's kind of ridiculous. And if you're a fan of stuff that's a little bit simpler, New Super Mario Brothers 2 is good. There is Paper Mario Sticker Star, which is simplified. There is so much great stuff. It's going to be a little tricky to figure out what I want to announce as like the best of the 3DS this year, because I had so many great experiences with it, and I am totally going to talk about those in more depth on some other episode, because we actually have a lot to get through in this episode. We have, like I said, two musical rations, one of which is about 30 minutes long, and one that's not. We'll like throw in a small musical ration, like maybe about 5-10 minutes. And then we have those three interviews. In fact, you know what? I'm going to hold off on... No, actually, no, I can do all three interviews. We can put all those up there. We'll just have to make this a pretty long episode. But what do you expect? It's Radio DMG. All of our episodes are long. Deal with it. So, yeah, we were going to... I was looking through that. I'm like, oh, man, best boss battles. Kid Icarus is just awesome boss after awesome boss after ridiculous twist. I mean, there is a section in Kid Icarus Uprising, spoiler alert, where Reaper-like enemies show up to assimilate everything. I mean, after you've got this whole dispute between the goddess of nature or whatnot, and I mean, okay... At one point, oh god, there's so much to it. Okay, the first main villain you run into is Medusa, right? And everyone's like, oh gosh, oh man, the amount of twists that they, okay. There is a level where, there's a couple levels where you're not playing as Pit in this game. And the reason for it is just... so well done. I mean, I can understand why this game kept getting delayed. Sakurai put so much into it. I'm just like, if this is what he did with Kid Icarus, where I don't need another Kid Icarus game for a little while. I'm good. This thing, 26 levels, a storyline that's pretty long and has ridiculous... Okay, every single... After the first couple of episodes, or rather, levels in it, every single level is some type of story cliffhanger. I mean, we've got these... We've got, like... after it looks like you're into the final battle with Medusa, turns out she's not really in charge, and this ridiculous dude is there, and then this other thing shows up, and then, like, the Reapers from Mass Effect 3 show up, and then, like, nature goes berserk, and you're facing off against all this other stuff, and then things happen, and characters... everything. The everything about that game, it's... That was a really good game. The multiplayer is actually really good, and people who are like, well, the play control is a little... Just deal with it. You'll get the hang of it. Just give it a chance. Relax. You don't have to worry too much about a lot of it. Yeah, your controls on the ground are a little awkward at first, but keep dealing with it. Just like keep messing around with it. You can customize some of this stuff around, and you'll get used to it. Eventually, it won't matter. You'll be fine. You can even adjust all the difficulty stuff. You can make the game easy as pie, you can make the game ridiculously hard or easy as childbirth. Anyways, you can do all sorts of ridiculous stuff with that game. It just Oh, man. And then there's Resident Evil Revelations, where I imported a thing specifically to play it on the XL with the Circle Pi Pro. And I was just like, oh, thank you. I had all sorts of coupons with PlayAsia. I was like pretty surprised I still had stuff with them. I was like, hey, I had ordered so much stuff from them before that I had coupons. It was weird. Anyways, yeah. And we will do a video about that in the future showing off the XL Circle Pi Pro, because that is a really good piece of kit. Revelations was, well, the last boss thing. There are some things that, okay, I love HP Lovecraft type stuff. I love this. I love the setting of the game. It's just, oh, it's so good. And there's like these little jump scares in there that are good. The bosses are great. Like the first major boss you end up, you can hear it throughout the level. Well, kind of. You hear this person on the radio like, Mayday, Mayday, this is the Queen Zenobia. We need help. Mayday, Mayday. And when you get closer, it starts to become more garbled. Like, Mayday, this is the Queen Zenobia. Mayday, Mayday. It just gets creepier, especially if you're playing with headphones. And then when you get to that point there, you actually have to let that boss out. And if you haven't seen what that boss looks like, oh, by the way, it also has a horrible one-hit kill thing that if you get too close, yeah, I won't spoil that, but you have to get away from this area because this boss has locked itself into this thing, right? And I'm like, it's better if before you open that door that's banging and you're hearing like, Mayday, the Queen Zenobia. If you wait before you do that, and you read some of the stuff around that area, and after you kill it, after you've defeated it, go into that room and read some stuff in there. It is great. There is some stuff in there that is itchy, tasty levels of awesome. Just that, and then the next boss after that was a thing that you, like, near the beginning of the game, this boss is kind of foreshadowed, and you're like, oh, this is great. And then you hear this boss, even though you don't see it, because like it starts going through the pipes, and you're like, you hear the thing, it's like, it's giggling and stuff. And like when you shoot it, it's like, no, stop, that hurts. I'm human. Why are you doing this? Why are you shooting me? I'm human. No, painful. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. As a horror game, they hit this out of the park. There are some action aspects to it too. Like there is a level where you're fighting a freaking zombie whale with tentacles and stuff. It is insane. That game just, so much good stuff in that. And the flashbacks. I liked all the characters in this game. It made sense. It felt like a proper Resident Evil game. And it was a hell of a lot better than Raccoon City whatever and Resident Evil 6. Resident Evil 6 did not reach the bar that Resident Evil Revelations set. Ah, it was just so good. I was just like, this is... And the worst part is, it made me realize that, wow, after playing Resident Evil Revelations, I can't enjoy Resistance Retribution on the PSP anymore. I'm just like, wow, there's so many horrible flaws in this game. I know it came out way before it, but wow. Wow. And then Final Fantasy Theatrhythm with all of its ridiculous DLC, where I'm like, oh man, this and this. I realized that there are some really wonderful, wonderful pieces of music in the Final Fantasy games that I don't like. It was just great. And then things like Rhythm Thief. Rhythm Thief's kind of like, oh, here's a little Professor Layton-esque tapping around, and then all sorts of. Rhythm Thief is one of the best Sega games that they've made this year, or rather, in a while. I played through that and I was like, Rhythm Thief is excellent. Sega needs to make more games like this game. Just they did a really good job with that. And then, like, Dylan's Rolling Western, it's a, I want to see more of that, more with that franchise and with those characters. It's a tower defense game, but it's a really fun one that's really hands-on. And then Sakura Samurai, which is essentially Punch-Out with swords. And then Pushmo last year was amazing. Crashmo is also amazing. This franchise that they've done with this, people criticize Nintendo because they're like, there's new Super Mario Brothers 2, and then there's new Super Mario Brothers Wii U, and they're just no longer innovative. They never make new franchises. Crashmo says, fuck you if that's what you believe, okay? Nintendo does make brand new franchises, and Dylan's Rolling Western, Sakura Samurai, Crashmo, these are all really good games. And they can do this. Some of the stuff Mario Tennis Open is disappointing. It's okay, but it's not that. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. I'm gonna go into a little bit of spoiler territory here, but man, the way it ties into the series and what you do at the end of it, the next game has to be Kingdom Hearts 3. Unless they did some type of weird prequel or something, I don't know where they go from that, because this goes directly into it. I mean, you've got Sora, who failed his Mark of Mastery thing, so he has to take that again. Riku didn't fail it, though. Riku passed. And he's going to go, and they're going to go get Terra and, Ventus and, what was the other guy's name? I forgot what that kid's name is. So, you know, the people from Birth by Sleep, because at the end of Birth by Sleep, they're all in a really bad state at the end of Birth by Sleep. In fact, man, Birth by Sleep really deserves to be, I wish it were downloadable so I could put it on the Vita. I wish it were that one in Crisis Core should be downloadable so I can put them on the Vita, because then I'd be playing stuff on the Vita instead of using it for podcasts and movies. Anyways, I mean, where they go with Kingdom Hearts 3, just, I like the story for Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, it gets convoluted, but it's not that bad. Okay, if you look at it remember in Harry Potter where Voldemort has all those Horcruxes? The Organization 13 are the Horcruxes for, Ansem, or whatever you want to call him. The main villain in there, he started the original Keyblade War so he could take over all these little dimensions and such. It's these dimensions, when you've unlocked them and pushed them away, it's kind of like, I guess the best way to put it is, let me explain it to you better. Sora and his friends, Sora and Riku are Time Lords. They go through each of these dimensions with a special a Keyblade that allows them to enter various worlds and dimensions at different times in those worlds and dimensions to get rid of this, essentially, there's an evil Time Lord, Ansem, or whatnot, who goes through here and he's been trying to essentially control all of it. And you're really trying to fix all that, and he's just really freaking powerful. That's the easiest way to understand it. Roxas is a clone of Sora, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, yes. You know how in Doctor Who, each of the different doctors is a different manifestation of the doctor's personality? In Kingdom Hearts, everyone is a mass, all the good guys are different manifestations of essentially different character aspects. I think I'm making it more confusing. Okay, here's the best way to put it. Yeah. Sora is a Time Lord. And so is Riku. And they're Time Lords in training. And their point is to go through these different dimensions and times and fix what once went wrong. Or fix what's wrong and drive out bad Time Lords. The worst Time Lord apparently has split himself into several different people and was intending to come back by using them as, well, because when he was defeated, he was split into parts. 13 parts, to be exact. That's Organization 13. And, well, that's what they're trying to prevent. They're trying to, Sora and Riku, these Time Lords, are trying to prevent the evil Time Lord from regaining his evil Time Lordishness. And that's really it. That's the whole story behind Kingdom Hearts. It's really Doctor Who. That's really what it is. And if you're just like one of those people who just like, what? What? Okay, chill. Chillax. Good. Other stuff, oh my gosh, Final Fantasy Theatrhythm, going back to that, just, oh man, I spent so much time on that. I think that might be, that might be one of my favorite rhythm games ever. Oh my gosh, it takes stuff that I like out of Elite Beat Agents and other types of games like that, and uses them in a way that makes sense. But, yeah, we're going to have the Gold Thingy Awards, and we're going to have some Christmas special type stuff like we did last year, and yeah, that appears to be it. I know I kind of rambled on for a bit, and we still have a lot more to go, so let's get on with the features. I might just do back-to-back interviews. Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to split them up between musical breaks, so yes. See you in about an hour. Oh my gosh.
Welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm here at Non-Descon 2012 with
Chris Kaysen.
So, Chris Kaysen, we already talked to you before, last year or so. So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing more anime and more video games. So I guess I would say more of the same, although I'm trying to work on getting into things like, as I said, more video games, narration, industrials, things like that, outside of just anime and video games. Mm-hmm. But definitely anime and video games, for sure.
What are your current projects?
Well, let's see, the ones I can talk about, you mean? Probably, let's see, in terms of video games, I can talk about Street Fighter Cross Tekken already happened. I was Mega Man in that, otherwise known as BBA Mega Man. And then Borderlands 2 is coming up, actually this month, and I like five characters in that. Some of them have really funny character names. And they're all really funny characters. That looks like it's going to be a great video game. I mean, one was incredible. And as far as, let's see, what can I talk about? Well, I can talk about Aria the Scarlet Ammo, which is actually, I believe, premiering here, and I'm about to talk about that. So I can talk about that one.
Okay. What's that about?
Gosh, it's about a, it takes place in a high school where kids are being trained to fight off. Never mind. I'm gonna make it sound not good, but it's very good, and I'm not gonna butcher it. But,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. You just want to make sure they fight something. To
well,
there's animals.
There are good people and bad people, and they fight, and then it's really awesome. And
good
there's
stuff.
And there's fan service.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Panties and cleavage and stuff.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh. So you're back at Non-Descon this year, of course, and what do you think of the convention this year so far?
Well, you know, it's great. This is, as I said at opening ceremonies, this is one of those cons where people wait all year to go. You know, it's an event con. There, I think over 21,000 people or more, and it's so well run, and it's just an amazing convention that I look forward to. As soon as I got the invitation, in fact, I wrote back the email, and I was emailed the invitation, And then I wrote back in record time. I said, you sent me this 2 minutes ago, and I'm telling you yes right now. And I guess that was in February or something of this year. I love this con. It's great. I love the town and the con, so it's perfect.
How do you feel the convention has changed from last year?
Well, let's see. It probably... I mean, I guess it always depends. You know, whether it's new guests or new attendees coming in, I asked a large group of people at opening ceremonies, you know, how many people have never been to this con? And I would say a surprising amount in that full ballroom raised their hand. So I think, you know, a con is only as good as the people who go to the con. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of new blood this year, which is great. So it's kind of a good combination of old and new. And I think it's a great recipe for awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. So what have you been up to aside from the voice acting and the producing and stuff? In other words, I'm asking you a little bit of a literary question. Like, what have you been up to? Been reading, watching, that type of thing?
Oh,
when
gosh.
You actually have spare time.
When I have spare time. What do I do in my spare time? Well, since last year, I've not developed new hobbies, but I still play. I mean, I still sing and play instruments. Music is really the thing that I enjoy the most. So I'm still playing that. And luckily, you know, like the guitar, for example, it's like the internet. You can never say, I finished the internet, and you can never say, I've now finished playing guitar, because there's always more to learn. So I get a lot of enjoyment from that. I think it's also... You know, part of the enjoyment is probably stress relief, really. It's probably, you know, instead of scream therapy, going into a room and screaming, it's probably me just playing guitar, which is probably better. So that, yeah.
Especially better for your voice.
Well, look, I've called, when you record and you're doing a lot of fight reacts or things like that, I do call that scream therapy. If you've had a bad day, someone cuts you off in traffic, go into a room and scream in a game and leave and you feel better, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's even a check involved, which is, you know, double awesome.
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
So, what do you think, how do you think, feel that Denver has changed since you were last here?
Well, now that I would be unqualified to answer only because last year, I mean, not unlike a baby swaddled in a blanket taken from room to room, I came into the hotel, and then I went to a couple of restaurants for dinner, and I went back into the hotel. So it was difficult to take the temperature of the city. I can tell you that Casa Bonita continues to be awesome, although not in Denver, I don't think, but close. But I don't know. This year, I saw more of Denver, or more of the Colorado period than ever before. I got to go to the... I went up to Estes Park to see the Stanley Hotel, which fascinated me because, you know, it's where Stephen King got the inspiration for The Shining, and it's supposedly haunted. Has great history to it. And then I went to the Rocky Mountain National Park, and for me, I mean, Dallas is in the prairie, so to see a mountain is a novelty to me, as is snow. And so to go, you know, almost 3 miles up in the Mile High City was spectacular. And I got a book. Actually, if I may, I'm going to have this out. I love it. I'm going to have it out for my autograph signings. My souvenir is a book entitled Who Pooped in the Park? And I'm very proud of that. So, thanks, Rockies. And I'm proud to say I did not pass out. The altitude did not cause me to feel woozy or pass out, so I'm actually very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. You drank enough water and stuff.
Stay hydrated, that's what they say.
Absolutely.
But I also figured, you know, if I do pass out halfway up this mountain, oh well, there's nothing, I mean, you know, next to maybe a helicopter, there's no way I'm really going to get help anyway, so I better just... you know, way to the top. And when we got to the top, there was a, you know, a restaurant. It was just really cool. I'd never seen that before. It was beautiful. So,
mm-hmm. So, do you believe in hauntings? In ghosts?
Well, I've decided to not be closed off to the idea. Maybe even just because it's more fun to think there is stuff like that. But I put it this way. I love scary stuff. I like scary movies, and I like Halloween. I like haunted houses where you pay money for some guy in a mask to jump out and say boo. I love stuff like that. Scary rides, like dark rides and stuff. So at least during for example, the Stanley Hotel tour, I allowed myself to believe in it, to really get the most out of it, because I wanted to get freaked out, and I did. So, and I was crawling around in this crouch space in the basement that where little children are often heard to giggle. And I mean, I have a picture of me crawling out of that. So at least for an hour yesterday, I absolutely did.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to believe in things.
It is, you know, Bigfoot, UFOs, whatever you like.
Mm-hmm. So, aside from the book, why did you pick up that book?
Because poop was in the title.
Oh, yes.
And I'm 7 years old, and I saw that. Because, you know, anyone can get a snow globe, anyone, or whatever, anyone can get a keychain or a t-shirt that says, I climbed the mountain, which I saw. I thought, but this has Rocky Mountain National Park and the word poop next to it. So, done. Take my, you know, shut up and take my money.
So, aside from, like, your voice acting or anything, have you done anything else, like any live action anything lately?
No, I haven't done any live action stuff. It's all been voice stuff, although I used to do some live action stuff, and I'm not opposed to getting back in it. In fact, at the time I did live action stuff, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but, you know, there are only a handful of things being shot in Dallas. The Dallas TV show, of course, had long since passed, although they are doing it now for the new one. But at that time, there was Wishbone. There was, yes, it's a very polarizing topic. The little dog was Wishbone. There was Barney. Hold for applause. Oh, crickets. And there was Walker, Texas Ranger. And commercials and stuff, too. And I did some commercials, and I was an extra on Walker. And I did see Chuck Norris walk past the extras eating food. And, you know, I saw his high-heeled boots and his, you know, his sweet beard. So that was cool for me to see. I mean, you know, so... It's been a while, though. Since that time, no. And I wasn't scared off seeing Chuck Norris. I would do more, but I've been so busy doing voice stuff, I just haven't yet. But I would. I would.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we asked you about, like, the... no, actually, I think we did ask you about the challenges of video game voice acting versus anime voice acting, right?
I don't... Because I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, I don't know if we covered this topic a year ago, but...
Just in case.
I would say... They are different, but I'll say the road is very much very similar. If you've done anime voice acting, the things that you would do to prepare, or even the recording style, is very similar. So I can see where video game recording would utilize a lot of anime people because it is so similar. A lot of people I've talked to, voice actors, they prefer in some cases prefer video game acting because you go into a room. There's no flaps to match, so you're not imprisoned by the flap movements of the mouth. It's a much shorter session, and it's fun, and it's more money. So it's sort of like an efficient version of recording for anime. But then the counter argument would be anime is cool because you have a more of an acting investment. It's that you come in for months at a time. You have a character that goes through different character arcs and changes. I mean, there's, you know, typically 26 episodes, so you live with that character longer. So I can see the, you know, there are two sides to that. But I'm just interested in doing more video game work because I have it, and I like to challenge myself. And so I'm really enjoying it so far.
And going back to video games, you mentioned that you had a lot of fun with Borderlands, and Borderlands 2 comes out this Tuesday.
Right.
Probably it'll be out by the time people hear this. would you be willing to give us, like, your gamer tag or PSN number? Or, like, name? Do you play online?
No, that's the thing. My spiel about that is I'm not much of a gamer, and I'm not good enough. If I were to play the game, I'm not good enough to get to me in the game. Mm-hmm. Because I would just, you know, die or give up or something. But I'm looking to do that, and because I like scary stuff, I think my gateway drug, so to speak, my inroad to video games would be scary games, where you turn the lights down and the volume up, and just get freaked out as you play.
Like, so, Resident Evil or Silent Hill. Or
exactly. That kind of... And I, you know, that I'm really interested in doing, so I need to investigate those. So I think I'd really like those.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So, what would you consider your favorite scary items? Like Stephen King or any of his stories? Or what would you consider your favorite...
Cujo.
Yeah, scary or horror stories or things?
What a specific... Do you like Cujo?
No.
You hate Cujo. What about the movie Cujo, no?
I haven't.
Oh, I saw that one. And Man's Best Friend.
yeah, it's very, yeah. Cujo, right there.
Yes.
Boom. Well, I do like Stephen King. You know, if you say you like Stephen King, then the Dean Koontz fans get upset or vice versa. There seems to be like a Star Trek, Star Wars rivalry between those two. But I think you can like... A scary story is a scary story. And I think... And I love them. And I like scary movies, too. I'll go see the worst scary movies just... because I like the schlock aspect, like the movie Cujo, for example.
Yeah.
But now I'm traveling so much that it's cool that I actually get to go to the places where they were either inspired or filmed. Like, for me, going to Stanley Hotel, the place where Stephen King encountered essentially ghosts, and he encountered ghosts, and he felt, you know, it was the end of the season, nobody was there, he felt alone, and there were ghosts, it was creepy, it inspired his book, The Shining, and of course the made-for-TV movie of The Shining was filmed there. So now I get to go to places, like in Oregon, I almost got to go to the Timberline Lodge where the Kubrick Shining was shot. I missed that chance. But I have the distinction, though, I ate a BLT sandwich in the original Texas Chainsaw House, so I'm very proud of that. So now I get to go on like a horror tour, and I'm very, like, that's the best.
have you worked on any horror anime? I'm trying to remember if you have any.
Oh, let's see. Well, there were some spooky ones. I don't think they were straight up. I was involved in Hell Girl was kind of spooky, and there was. But I end up playing a lot of monsters and stuff anyway, so often I'm the spooky one in the thing, which is great for me. I love playing creatures and monsters. So, you know, that's one of the cool things about voice acting and working in anime is I can't be a convincing 30-foot monster on a stage, but I can in anime. It's just me screaming with a pitch shifter and instant spooky.
Excellent. very much instant spooky, because you're not exactly a scary person.
I appreciate that compliment.
No, it's like he's got like you've got him this whole beard thing going here, this sort of fuzzy little teddy bear thing, and the hat.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to say I'm adorable, and no, I don't know. It's true. I don't want to come across as being scary, certainly, but I like to be scared. And by the way, I'm not brave whatsoever. I will pay, like around Halloween, I'll pay money, go to a haunted house, and I will, you know, curl up in this ball and slowly walk down this, but you know, I want to get the full effect of, you know, when you pay your money, I want to get totally scared. So yeah, well, this has been about, this has been a really creepy edition.
So actually, I guess since we're getting closer to the end of the interview, I have a real quick question. When fans approach you at a convention, how do you feel they should approach you? What's the best way for them to talk to you?
Run at you with a hug.
Cujo. Now, they should just say, hey. I mean, I have a, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and I just say, hey, come up and say, hey, and we'll talk about whatever. Not necessarily scary things, although, as you can tell, that becomes my, you know, I'll just go off forever on that. But, yeah, I mean, they can just say what's up, and we'll talk about whatever they want to talk about. I mean, you know, I feel like, especially when you go to cons, you know, I'm here for the attendees, so I want to make myself available to them, and we can talk about whatever they want. I mean, the only thing I would say maybe not to do that I can think of would be just like a bum-rushing hug that knocks me to the ground. That would be weird and uncomfortable, but other than that, it's whatever they want. So,
okay.
They can lick your face? That's cool.
Well, no. let's not do any kind of transfer of fluids or any kind of thing like that, you know. A handshake would be fine, you know, whatever you want. A fist bump, a handshake, whatever you got. A face lick, we'll talk. You know, that's... You know,
it's like you may have to charge them for that.
That's down the road. Yeah, I don't do face... No. Yeah, nah.
No. Oh, yes, but it's been fun talking to you again, actually. And this has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG. Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, with...
Chris Kaysen.
And you're at NonDescon 2012. Oh, by the way, what's the best part of the convention so far?
Best part of the convention so far? Well, so far for me, I've only had opening ceremonies, and that was amazing because it's just overwhelming the amount of people. But so far, I've seen some incredible cosplay. I'll say that right away. I mean, the halls are, I mean, the lobby area and all these, I mean, it's just packed with people. And I just love the imagination, and I love, I mean, it's been amazing to just people watch, as usual.
Well, anything you want to pitch before we go?
I guess I could, let's see, on Facebook I'm at, there's a Facebook page that was made for me called Chris Kaysen's Anime Chuckle Hut, weird title, but I'm on that a lot. And also on Twitter I'm at Kaysen World, so, you know, come say hey virtually with no face licking.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much for the interview, and to our studio audience, good night. Say good night.
Good night.
This is Michael Center Nicholas, and you're listening to Radio DMG on the internet.
Set fire to your hair, poke a stick at a grizzly bear, eat medicine that's out of date, use your private parts as piranha bait. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Get your toast out with a fork, do your own electrical work, teach yourself how to fly, eat a 2 week old unrefrigerated pie. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Invite a psycho killer inside, scratch a drug dealer's brand new ride, take your helmet off in outer space, use a clothes dryer as a hiding place. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Keep a rattlesnake as a pet, sell both your kidneys on the internet, wonder what's this red button do? Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dress up like a moose during hunting season, disturb a nest of wasps for no good reason, stand on the edge of a train station platform, drive around the moon, get at a level crossing, run across the tracks between the platforms. They may not rhyme, but they're quite possibly dumbest ways to die. Dumbest ways. Be safe around trains. A message from Metro.
What up, sugar?
ゾンビだ。バターがくっついちゃった。脳みそを食べるぞ。俺たちゾンビゾンビゾンビだ。
welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at NondeskCon 2012 with...
Lolita Dark.
So, who is Lolita Dark? Who are you guys?
We are... What do we... You put it perfectly one time, and it's on our website, so you have to remember what you said.
I can't remember things I say right.
Go ahead.
I don't even... Which one?
Is this live?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, cool. You can pull up our website. We are a mixture of a bunch of semi... kind of like wounded adults that never wanted to conform to society. And
go to carousel, huh?
Yeah. We always just like our beliefs is the always be true to ourselves and you know, not to be swallowed by the
Which website is this?
It's called LolitaDark.com, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's our motto, and and Patrick has something to add to that.
we just take all of our eclectic influences and kind of just bring it together, you know, just to make this
melting pot style.
Yeah, it's really like a really unique sound. Maybe if you look at it in a small scope, it sounds a lot like L.A., but... Like, in its entirety, it's very different. We have a lot of Japanese influence, anime music, and a bunch of just, like, punk rock influence and aggressive influence. And it just all mixes to what we like to play.
So, who are the band members of this? I was just going to see if I could get your guys' names across the row here.
My name's Rain.
Bass player.
I play bass.
Plays bass?
My name is May.
And you play?
A vocal.
And
keyboard.
I'm Ray, vocal and guitar.
Joey, drums.
Patrick, lead guitar.
Excellent. So, how did you guys form your band? Whose idea was this?
Good question. Well, we actually have another band called Dig Jelly, and we have been playing, you know, Anime Expo and PMX and stuff like that for years. And
it's the three of us, the bass player, her, and the drummer, me. Mm-hmm. And Patrick is actually subbed for us, the Dig Jelly Band.
And we have guitar player Robbie Lochner, who is currently on tour as a lead guitar player with Great White. And I know, Jack Russell's Great White, not the other Great White. And so I've always wanted to do this thing where I can just... I am like so many people in one person. And I... kind of wanted to have a band where I can introduce every aspect and influence of me into one thing. And
what I've noticed about Reiko is that, like, songs just kind of come to her. Sorry. I don't know why. Okay, anyway. So, these things just sort of pop out of her just randomly. And, you know, she... Well, with our other band, we couldn't really do... the Japanese lyrics, we couldn't really be as, I don't know, free as we want, as she needed, essentially.
She writes a lot.
Because with Dig Jelly, we'd all write together, but she'd just keep pulling out these other songs, and it wouldn't fit with Dig Jelly, so we just started, you know, we were recording. We probably spent a year just recording different stuff, and we have so much stuff we still haven't even released.
And every time we can't finish anything because he's writing something.
Because there's always something new.
Slow it down.
Right now we're backlogged with things that we need to still record. And we're still trying to finish up remixes of some of the tunes on the album. We're already playing songs that we're planning on, I think, probably re-recording. But, you know, releasing soon.
Yeah, and so three of us, and then I forever wanted to get... Well, we played with Patrick before, and we've always liked his, like, this ability to come up with something that, like when I write music, I come up with, like, every part, and sometimes it drives everybody crazy because they're great musicians, and I'm like, oh, you know, I want this bass line here, the drum, you know, and guitar, the lead, you know, melody, but, like, we have this, like, silent like communication, the Patrick will always like come up with stuff that's like below my mind, like like the, so tasteful and like, you know, great, that fits right into the little spot that, you know, the I left out. And then I always wanted to have a female vocal partner, because first of all, I had to have somebody in Japanese that can sing in Japanese. And then also, you know, like my other guitar player from Dick Jelly used to harmonize with me, but something about guy and a girl, it just separates so much. And I was always looking for somebody who is like, has the, you know, sings in sings in Japanese, speaks Japanese, and, you know, of course, look Japanese, and from Japan, and who has this like similar vocal like tone as mine. And then I was at a karaoke one day. We were at our friend's birthday party karaoke, and she was singing, and I was like doing something, and when she started singing, I'm like, excuse me, let me talk to you. And that's how she got, yeah, she joined the band.
So you grew up in Japan?
Yes.
Born and raised. Born and raised in Japan, and have you spent much time here in America?
Yes.
So Lolita Dark kind of draws from your experiences in both Japan and America to make for a multicultural, rather melting pot of a band or so.
Yeah.
So where does the name come from?
Well, Lolita, you know, there is the teenage prostitute version of the real Lolita thing, which I wasn't. But I did grow up really fast. I had to.
No subsidized dating.
Yeah. And then, and of course the fashion part of it, the Lolita fashion. And, you know, I'm from Shibuya. And so it's like everything, it was crazy growing up. Like I was gyaru and, you know, the really black, white lips and white lashes and all that stuff. And then I wanted to, like, and then, you know, Japan, there's a very, like, certain conservativeness in the society that, you know, and, you know, we are, because I was always different, and if I'm going to be looked at different or, like, you know, with, like, be pointed at, then I wanted to just go extreme and just, like, just whatever.
So would you say that was, like the gun girl? That's the Japanese style of blackface, essentially. So what attracted you to it was the extreme qualities of it?
It's just that, like, I just wanted, maybe, well, first of all, yeah, and then, of course, it's like an attention-getting thing, too. And then, of course, I've always been playing music and stuff. And, you know, when you're independent, you know, the only promoter you have is yourself. So I'm constantly, like, you know, walking, living, promoting. Promoter, shameless promoter. So it's like I would just go everywhere. Just like, you know, the people were just like, you know, I have a reason to just even come up to people. It's like, hey, why are you looking at me? Like, let's talk.
Rico's rather unique. Since she moved here, she really hit the ground running, learning English, immersing herself in the culture. And, you know, she's rather fluent. She writes songs in both English and, I mean, like, this is the first time that she's really written in Japanese. Like, most everything else she's done in the past has been English. She, you know, she's released a couple albums, just all English. And this is the first time we felt comfortable enough to branch out in America with Japanese.
We played a lot of anime.
And thanks to, like, you know, con like Nandescon and AX and PMX. I mean, we have a place that we can just, like, totally be ourselves and just, like, feel welcomed. That's what we were saying yesterday at the show. It's like, I mean, when I first came here and saw anime in English, I was like, oh my gosh.
What was the first anime you saw in English?
I think it was either Pokemon.
Oh.
Or, yeah, I think it was Pokemon. Yeah, in English. Or, like, Sailor Moon or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then Naruto. But I started downloading Naruto in Japanese because I love the voice. I seriously thought I was going to marry him, so I wanted to, like, you know, hear him in Japanese. But, yeah, I was like, wow. And then I started noticing this community, the cosplay, you know, with the blonde hair Caucasian girls wearing. And when I first saw that, I was like, wow. Yeah. I kind of like.
So where does the dark part of Lolita Dark come from?
As I said, I'm not going to go into details, but I had to, like,
Lay
I grew
detail.
Up...
Oh,
yeah, no.
More
detail. Details. Yes.
You might want to give some stuff.
No, but, like, I grew up really fast, and I went through some...
Dark rebellious stage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Any jail time?
Is that a loaded
juvie?
Juvie?
Yeah. Reiko was really young when she went through a lot of the stuff that she's been through. Incredibly young. Frighteningly young.
Hey!
Kind of a love and pop situation.
I'm just...
Kidding.
You know, the band has learned much. I mean, over the years that I've played with her, you know, you learn things about each other.
Mm.
The darkness, I think, comes. I mean, if you listen, if you read the lyrics, if you kind of see where she comes from and the different places that she goes, I think you'll see the darkness.
Hmm. I have a couple questions about your album here. We have a Tokyo Status. Why the name Tokyo Status for the album?
I just wanted to make it like on the nose, kind of like we are like. I'm sorry.
Or the state of Tokyo.
Yeah. Like, everything that's going on in Japan is just so hectic right now. The fashion, the tsunami, and the breaking
thing.
Of the, you know, bubbles and trying to rebuild the, you know, they're rebuilding the society and the emperors and just...
Yeah, it's very high and low.
Yeah.
A lot of nationalism recently.
Yeah.
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 So...
Then all those disputes with the islands...
Yes.
So it's the entire status of Tokyo, you know, just kind of what's...
Yeah.
Well, Japan, essentially, but...
With, like, American occupation of Okinawa, and then
China's
laying claim... Yeah, like China laying claim on those other islands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, you know, it's also, it's a footprint. It's claiming almost a territory, and pridefully so.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, there's a lot that Japan has to offer, and there's a lot, especially in just general Tokyo. I mean, it just dwarfs Manhattan.
So you would say they're going through some mad times currently.
Yeah.
So I actually have a question about the song "Mad Times." It's the last track on your album, Lolita Dark's at Tokyo Status, which they can purchase from your website.
Yes.
Excellent. Where did the inspiration for this song come from, and what is the message that you're trying to push through on Mad Times?
That song was particularly written for the recent tsunami of 3/11 last year, and oh my gosh, first thing I called my mom, and of course I couldn't get a hold of anybody, my family, relatives, and when she called me, she's like, oh, I'm okay, don't worry, but you know, I was so busy like trying to get everybody into one car, like everybody to carpool to go, you know, like all the strange. My mom is a leader type of like person, and she was like trying to get everybody carpool to back to their houses. And she said, you know, I was at a shoe store and I got hit by so many shoes, and thank God I was my maid. It wasn't too heavy. Da, da, da. She was like making jokes, but I could hear the kind of sense of urgency in her voice, and I said, Mom, you're coming, you're not gonna stay. And she's like, oh no, everything okay, I'm in Tokyo, everything's okay, and your uncles and aunts are okay. I'm like, no, you're coming. And so within a week or 10 days my sister and myself got her to fly to US, and then and you know, after a while you start watching the news, and then you started learning all this stuff. And after the shock value runs away, it fades away, you still, as Japanese, you still hear everything from, you know, Japanese news and, you know, our relatives. And I started writing this song to just really dedicate it to the families and the victims of the tsunami. And then especially that one person that stayed, you know, population one in the nuclear area. the state to take care of the animals, and that's the last. I don't know if you were at the show last night, but that was the last picture. Yeah, second to last picture you saw the man with the dog.
Yes.
And so everything about that song is for that, the events, the whole event.
Just is it just a culmination of your feelings and thoughts of it at the time?
Yes, and throughout the time, yeah. Still, I get really emotional. Like last night, I was singing Patrick, and I noticed this girl was at the front row, and she was like crying, and it's still like very
surreal. Again,
it seems like it just happened.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a year, but it's always like reminders of it everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, how do you cope with traumatic events like that?
I am so used to coping with traumatic events.
What do you do to cope with traumatic events? Because here in the Denver Aurora area, we have had our more recent tragic event that we've had to deal with. Is there anything you can do to help people or like to let people know how they can help get themselves over that?
Well, I am I'm very spiritual myself, so I pray a lot, and then. I always thought that every time you wake up in the morning, even when my darkest time, wake up in the morning and then there's two choices, just to either to be positive or negative. Then if there's nothing you can do about the situation, just meditate, pray, and then just be positive throughout the day, and then just bring out the positive energy to everybody you meet. And then, you're kind of healing people by your attitude. And
a lot of it is writing in the song as well. Just venting.
So a lot of dark stuff kind of goes into it. Maybe that's, maybe because I have a place to vent, like in the music, and that's why music is so great, because you're writing your own script. And so I vent in there, and then, but as a person, I'm just like always trying to be like even keel, positive, and
To answer your question, I would say community. That's what helped people in Japan. That's what helped anyone, even like 9/11. It was community.
Mm-hmm.
The people coming together. In Reiko's case, her band has been her community. It's been her family.
Yeah.
It is that her way to express both musically and the community, her support group. So, I like, to all the questions around community.
I have a slightly lighter question. Out of the songs that you guys have on your first album, this is the first album we put out with Lolita Dark, and out of these songs that are here, which ones, this is a question for each of the individual band members, would you consider to be your favorite or the most personal meaning to you?
Oh, funny. We were just talking about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, you want to go first? Because you were just talking about
it. I think the two songs, in my opinion, that really capture what we do is like Zesho and Tokyo Status. Like, they have that energy to it, and it still has like a good depth to like the meaning behind the songs. And they fit how we write, how we perform, how we do everything. But I mean, all the other songs on there still have a lot of emotion and hard work put into it. It's lighter songs like Girls, and like there's just it's very diverse for still being very themed and like consistent. It's not like listening to one CD with five bands on it. It sounds like us throughout the whole thing, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, we got a little musical ADD kind of. At least I do. So, no, all of them. I would say all of them, because I can't really pick, I put something like all of them, kind of,
It's like I can't pick any. They're all my children.
It's like picking your favorite show.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. Just like the one that's doing the best in school. Like, there's the smart, intelligent one. All the other ones don't matter.
Yeah.
So I would say breakfast in bed for us? I like you this week.
Oh, yes. So, which of these songs makes breakfast in bed for you?
I like Death to Iris because I started off. But otherwise, I actually like the darker stuff personally. Like, I like Mad Times, Nothing at All, things like that.
Yeah,
I'm a little more darker. Maybe I'm part of that. Maybe I'm the Pardon Lolita Dark.
The Dark.
Okay.
He's definitely not Lolita.
He's but, not going to be wearing a dress playing the drums.
But I like the other stuff too, because I like very poppy hooks, and I like a little bit of a darker feel on top of poppy hooks.
And then,
Yeah, Dark, and speaking of darking, darker dark.
darker than dark.
Yeah. I wrote Insane when he was going through some darker time.
Oh, yeah, I never got through those.
And so, yeah, I mean, we've been best friends for, gosh, years, and,
sorry. Did that get picked up?
It's fine, yeah, it gets picked up.
And so, yeah, Insane means, you know, I kind of felt like if I couldn't help somebody out, by just talking, you know, I wanted to just like I said, I wanted to help people through my music. So I always done that with supporters, but I've never done it with it within the band members. So I felt really good about writing that. And then All Tyranny, it was written about my recent event with somebody who kind of was. My Jesus, really popular mage. Yeah,
I know. It's okay.
So, O-Tyranny is about you know, like
powerful.
Yeah, people who abuse power that I can't stand. Mm. So, it's, you know, it's there are so many powerful, great people. Don't get me wrong; not all the powerful people are
corrupt.
Yes, yeah.
But
yes.
You can tend to be.
Right, and this person, yeah, on the particular song was just balanced. Like, and I wanted. There's nothing I could do about it because I was really close to somebody who's close to this person, so I didn't want to just come out and say it only on the podcast. So that song, yeah, and then Who's the One I wrote about when my father was dying with cancer. So that song means. Very close to home, and still I get really teary, emotional when I play that song, when we play that song. And yeah, Tokyo Set is definitely Mad Times. I mean, gosh, like I said, you know, what can I say? It's like, oh, I just love it.
Hi, what's your favorite over there?
My favorite is Death to Eris. Yeah, I say Reiko.
Nihongo de ittemo iyo.
Tsuyaku shite kedo. Honto? Nan daro?
なんかドラムが先か、
うん、なんだろう、もうファーストインプレッション。
She was telling me that when she hears the drum in the beginning, she just gets like this really really emotional, like she gets like really tear up. So she always told me that Death to Eris was her favorite.
Nice. And now to you.
Oh my God. Okay, so I've mixed and engineered all these songs, so I've spent. Hours,
so he hates
hours.
Oh, okay.
Like listening over and over and oh, this is not right. Oh, this thing, and then you change one thing, and then something else changes. So they've all taken on different meanings in some way. But I, you know, I kind of go with Joey. You know, nothing at all. You know, like Insane, Death to Eris. You know, honestly, Who's the One? Who's the One is a very powerful piece. I don't think a lot of.
We don't really play it live,
or we haven't.
Because I have
yet.
To teach her the piano part first.
We still got to work it out live, but we did that a long time ago.
That was when we did the Tsunami Relief show. It was before we had really finalized.
Yeah.
So ask him which one he hates the least. That's
Which one do you hate the least?
Which one do I hate the least?
Yes.
Well, I think it pretty much listed them. I mean, you know, I think all of them are great songs, and I love playing them. I have a great time. Sometimes I can't listen to it because I've been, you know, listening to it so many times at once. You know, you just have to get some other music into your head, otherwise you want to strangle people.
So he puts on Weird Al, his favorite,
love
first concert. And our beautiful makeup artist, Del, his favorite is Legacy. So, everybody's got their, like, you know, I'm so happy, I'm honored that people like
it. I like Legacy, too. See, you can't really pick it.
So yesterday was your third show.
Yes.
Okay, what were the previous two? What were the previous two?
Previous shows? Two shows? Anime Expo was our debut. Mm-hmm. And House of Blues was the second, and then this one.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think of Non-Discon so far?
Oh, like my gosh. Awesome. I was telling Jessica and Lindsay that we want to come back every year. We have been having having so much fun. I mean, we, like, as soon as we got off the air for airplane, first of all, Denver Airport kind of reminds me of Narita. The clean, very clean, and people are just so incredibly warm.
Mm. Keep in mind, we left LAX.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yes. And then, you know, who's that name of the person that picked us up?
Dave.
Dave, yes.
Yeah, he was pretty very
yeah,
nice.
He was so nice. He was, you know, and then he was teaching us all kinds of, like, you know, stuff around town, and he showed us the movie theater. We we did drive through there. And then we got here, and Jessica has been great throughout, ever since we got booked for the show. She has been just hands-on, thorough. Every email, within like 2 minutes, I hear from her, and then we, you know, correspond with her and Lindsay, and, you know, everybody has been just so... I mean, this is like, we have went on a U.S. tour from Boston to San Francisco, but this, with our label... But this has been the most organized, very, very super awesome tour, little mini tour convention.
Well, it's all consolidated, event. Too. It's like, oh, which I kind
yeah,
of
like. It's yeah, great.
The Expo yeah. player, you're so spread out.
Yeah, you have to go to,
nobody
you know,
really is concentrated in one place. They're all their own.
It's become kind of a community, but I mean, today, yes, yeah, everyone kind of starts meeting everyone.
Well, before we go...
Yes.
I do have one more question, and it's here at these conventions, there's a lot of energy that goes around here. That, like, if you've noticed, we're very, very active. A lot of these people who go to the conventions, though, when they get back to their normal lives, they just have a tendency to clam up, to go into a bit of a shell. Any tips or so to help people break out of that shell?
Yeah. I have to say, it's just like, you know, I really think that, who cares what people think? Really, like, just if you stay true to yourself for the rest of your life, when you wait, when you're in your deathbed, let's say if hopefully you're like 85, 90, you don't want to just say, oh my gosh, what an amazing normal life we had. You don't want to say that ever. You know, you want to say, oh my gosh, I was just so different, and I did this and I did that, and then just so many different things that you did, and then all of a sudden you just fall asleep into heaven, like. You know, so just being different is everything, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what all the genius like Einstein and all those people, you know, my father, myself, do you like, you know, just when everybody said, oh, no. When they point the finger at you, that means you're there, you won.
And my motto is you're only here to amuse yourself.
Which, yeah.
It's really about breaking out of routine. Like, you know, as soon as you go back home, you got your familiarities. You're going to keep going to your familiarities. And if as long as you keep going to those familiars, you're never going to experience anything different. And only when you experience something different are you able to adapt. And if you're not adapting, then you usually close off or clam up. But if you learn to adapt, like anything in nature, that's when you truly grow and, you know, mutate, if you will.
Thank you very much for the interview. This has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG. That's Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I've been here at Non-Descon 2012 with...
Lolia Zach.
Yes. And say goodnight.
Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight.
You forgot to ask him about the doll.
Oh.
This administration pledged itself last summer to an across-the-board, top-to-bottom cut in personal and corporate income taxes to be enacted and become effective in 1963. I'm not talking about a quickie or a temporary tax cut, which would be more appropriate if a recession were imminent. Nor am I talking about giving the economy a mere shot in the arm to ease some temporary complaint. The federal government's most useful role is not to rush into a program of excessive increases in public expenditures, but to expand the incentives and opportunities for private expenditures. Purchase more goods. Plants use more of their capacity. Men are hired instead of laid off. Investment increases and profits are high. Corporate tax rates must also be cut to increase incentives and the availability of investment capital. The government has already taken major steps this year to reduce business tax liability and to stimulate the modernization, replacement, and expansion of our productive plant and equipment.
I'm gonna bury you in the ground. La da 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 da. I'm gonna bury you with my sound. I'm gonna drink the red from your pretty pink face. I'm gonna...
Marceline, that's too distasteful.
Oh, you don't like that? Or do you just not like me? Sorry, I don't treat you like a goddess. Is that what you want me to do? Sorry, I don't treat you like you're perfect, like all your little loyal subjects do. Sorry, I'm not made of sugar. Am I not sweet enough for you? Is that why you always avoid me? That must be such an inconvenience to you. Well, I'm just your problem. I'm just your problem. It's like I'm not even a person, am I? I'm just your problem. Well, I shouldn't have to justify what I do. I shouldn't have to prove anything to you. I'm sorry that I exist. I forget what landed me on your blacklist. But I shouldn't have to be the one that makes up with you. So why do I want to? Why do I want to bury you in the ground and drink the blood from your... Oh.
You can run out of air, miss a ledge that isn't there. You think that you're a player too, go into town and abuse cuckoos.
Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die.
Running into some grass, your teammate being an ass. Getting booed off the stage, die getting sacked by Johnny Cage.
Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die.
Let a creeper in, there's no button to swim. That stupid bitch, she always dies, not believing that the cake is a lie.
Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die.
A gap in a stack, trigger an alien attack. Getting ganked by a rogue,
not one f***ing level in Battletoads.
Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die.
Trying to ford that river and get dysentery. You beat the lead four, but you lose to Gary. Fish at the bush when your teammates aren't there, when the Samo stick is just everywhere. Slow on the draw for a quick time event. It may not rhyme, but it's quite possibly
the dumbest ways to die. Dumbest ways to die. Dumbest ways to die. So many dumb, so many dumb ways to die.
Please don't throw your controllers. A message from
Mega State Man.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here at NondeskCon 2012 with...
Patrick Seitz!
Ah, he's a reoccurring character here, I suppose, right?
I haven't thought of myself that way, but I like that.
Yes, yes. This is like the reruns or so. No, we're not at reruns yet. He hasn't jumped over a shark.
Yet.
Yet. He's revving the motorbike now. So, since we last talked to you last year, what have you been up to?
It's been a busy year, which I'm thankful for. I mean, as a freelancer, busy means work is occurring and bills are being paid, but it's been a little nuts. I've just been doing the script adapting. The voiceover work has been thankfully consistent. I've done a little bit of game directing, some on stuff that I can't talk about yet, but it's been a full 12 months. It's been like 14 months of stuff in a 12-month sack, as it were. But I'm glad for it. I mean, I'm sure there'll be downtime later, and I will be angsty about that when it happens, but for now, I'm just thankful to be busy.
So, what have you been busy on?
Oh, let's see. What have I been busy on? Finally recording as Frankie for One Piece. That's happening. That's a thing. Little show called One Piece Pirates. And got Tiger and Bunny coming up shortly, which I'm thankful about. That's a wonderful show. Playing Sky High. And what else can I actually talk about? That's always the challenge. Steins Gate and King of Thorn. Both of which I love. King of Thorn I got to do the English dub script for, and then I play Marco, one of the characters. And then Steins Gate, I got to do adapted scripts along with J. Michael Tatum, who was fabulous. Wonderful man. And also got to do a little bit of voice work in there, and those are just finally hitting the streets now. So, I mean, that's always the trouble thing. Whatever I'm working on right now, last week, next week, that's the stuff I can't talk about for months and months and months. But then there is always that satisfaction when the things I've worked on months and months and months ago are finally coming out and sort of reaching the point of fruition. Mm-hmm. People can buy them and hold them and watch them. And by people, I mean me. Mm-hmm. Because I want to see how they turned out.
Yeah, they don't let you preview your work after you finish it?
It's not really occasion to. I mean, especially with the Funimation stuff, since I'm in Southern California. When you go in, you knock it out, you do it. I mean, there have been a couple times where I've been just happened to be around at the right time, and they're like, oh, here, check this out. But for the most part, once it's done, you just wait for them to do their voodoo on it, and then see the final product. Mm-hmm. Sometimes at a con, a little bit ahead of other people, but usually just waiting for it to hit the street.
So, how you were here last year. How do you feel NondeskCon or Denver or the Denver area has changed since the last time you were here?
The chunk of it that I get to experience in the few days that I'm here has seemed pretty consistent to me. I mean, it's hard coming in just for a couple days as I do and having sort of this rarefied existence where I'm going from, panel to panel. Don't really get the feet on the ground time to sort of take the pulse of the city. I can say that I had an awesome time last year, I'm having an awesome time this year, so there is thankfully that consistency. But I wouldn't expect that to change. I mean, I think the way they're running the con, they've got their ducks in the row to the point that it's not a crapshoot. You know what I mean? It's not like it's going to be great year, horrible year, so-so year, great year again, then another horrible year. I mean, they've got their act together. So I think it's just going to keep being an awesome convention. Mm. And apparently the numbers are going up, more people are coming. I think they hit their cap yesterday.
Yeah, they hit the cap yesterday. They had to actually turn away people from the convention.
Crazy. I mean, heartbreaking. Yeah. They hit the cap, but there's you just want to get them all. Like, you want to be here, you love anime, come in, everybody in.
We'll just tape them to something or something.
Exactly. We'll stick you high on a wall where you're out of the way. That's great. I mean, talk about great problems to have as a convention. Oh no, we are too successful. Could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. With all the work that you've been working on, like that 14 months worth of stuff into 12 months, how do you find the time, or what do you do to balance the time between your personal and your work life? How do you unwind?
Is there even a break between the two? I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, the writing that I do is on my own. I mean, I have deadlines, but I do it at home. I do it on my own schedule. So sometimes I'll do it during the day. Other times I'll do it in the evening. If I've had a busy day recording, I didn't get around to it, maybe I will stay up really late. Or maybe if things are going well and the deadline is looming, I'll stay up all night. And as soon as I schedule a trip or try to go out of town with my girlfriend or anything, inevitably work comes up and things get shuffled around or delayed or it doesn't happen. So it's... And this, I mean, this happens with all actors and all freelancers. You take the work when you get it, and that takes precedence, and then you sort of fit downtime and free time and fun and trips in between those times as best you can. And it sucks when something comes up and you have to cancel something, but at the same time, you're like, well, it means I'm working. I mean, it's better than having nothing to do, and, I mean, I like playing video games, like watching movies, like reading. A lot of my hobbies really aren't very complicated. I mean, it's like I'm going out, like, base jumping or anything. So I can sort of fit in the stuff I like to do in those chunks of time, you know, as the work schedule will allow for. That said, I'm really glad to be here, especially because I enjoy it here so much. And this is sort of a treat that I put on the calendar. You know, come hell or high water, I'm going to NDK. So the world can just back off for a couple days. But it's been good lately. We got to go up to PAX for a couple days and check out the games that were coming out, and then come here a couple weeks later. So it's a nice little sort of window of fun and of calm in early September this year, at least. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, my hobbies, too. I mean, some actors have these great things they're doing. They're, like, doing this, they're doing that, and they're in a band, and they're comedians. And my interests are all pretty pedestrian. I mean, I think part of it is the fact that I have that creative outlet with the work that I do. If I were working some job that I hated, I would have to have cool, fun hobbies to give me that creative outlet so I didn't go nuts. But since my work is that creative outlet, the things that I do in my spare time, like, oh, I'm reading a book, I'm playing a game, you know what I mean? I don't need to find that release when I'm off duty, so to speak.
So you love what you do, and you do what you love.
I mean, if I were working some office job, I would probably be writing more stuff on the side or doing a web series or what have you. But since I'm writing as my work and I'm enjoying it, I'm not doing as much, you know, sort of extracurricular, so to speak, writing on my own time. And sometimes I bum myself out about that, but I'm like, oh no, I'm getting paid to write, so I don't have the time or gumption to do my free writing. Shucks. Again, first world problem.
Yes, exactly. So, how did you meet your girlfriend?
Met her at Anime Expo 5 years ago. People always look at me like, oh, you nerds. No, it was actually great. Genion was having a booth for Helsing that year. They're doing a strong Helsing push, complete with the Alucard throne. They had the whole thing done up. It was really nice. One of her friends was cosplaying as my character, Luke Valentine, which never happened because the two Valentine brothers, Jan Valentine is the one everyone cosplayed because he had the cool tracksuit and he swore a bunch. So, and especially at that point, I hadn't done tons of stuff. Just to see someone cosplaying my character was a novel and mind-blowing experience. And she came through the line with her friend, and I freaked out, and her friend and I took a bunch of pictures because, oh my god, she's my character and I'm the voice. And just got to talking to them and kept talking, and we just kept talking over the MySpace, just to...
Oh, MySpace.
to sort of date it in time. Mm. Just sort of, but we met at Anime Expo.
Wow, 5 years.
Yeah.
Looking to get serious?
Oh, that is me being serious.
Oh.
If she's put up with me for a whopping half of a decade, so I assume I'm not going to drive her nuts anytime soon. Hopefully. Assuming my behavior doesn't degrade.
Yeah, just gotta keep away. It's like, just keep employed, right? That type of thing, right?
There are worse people to date than me, I'm sure.
So, what's your favorite part of NDK?
Oh, man. Favorite part of NDK?
All of your panels.
It's tough. I've had good panels. People are really respectful. The fans are having a good time. It's a really tightly run ship. I don't even know if I can distill it down to one element. It all just works together really, really well. I don't think I can showcase any one piece. It's just there are some cons where this thing is good, and that thing is not so good, and you can sort of divide them. But this one, I think, you sort of have to take as a whole, because they've really got it working well as a whole. I'd say, you know, at the risk of sounding like a cop-out answer, I'd say the whole damn thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, pure stock answer number one. it is kind of tough to decide on those. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the cosplay this year, though?
It's amazing. I was actually commenting to my girlfriend. It seems like, I mean, not everybody, but there's a really high number of people that are cosplaying. I also realize that you notice them more than the people that aren't, because it's more visually arresting, because they've got something on. But it's there's a lot of folks cosplaying, and they're really good at it. I mean, I say that as someone, I'm not good at drawing things, I'm not good at making things, I'm not good at crafting things. So when people
aside from words.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the intangibles.
Yes, yes.
But to see someone be like, here's this armor that I made, that's voodoo to me. I mean, I get so impressed by the stuff that people make. And again, all on their own time. No one's paying them to do this. The money they spend on it, the man hours they put into it, and all, you know, quote-unquote, just for a hobby, it's really, really impressive. And it's not something that I could ever do. I mean, you could give me unlimited cash, unlimited time, and I'd go out there looking like I was wearing a refrigerator box with some, like, you know, silver spray paint on it. So I'm impressed.
It's a refrigerator Gundam.
Basically, yeah.
The new series from Tomino.
Gundam refrigerator. It's like
right after unicorn. Yes. It's a unicorn refrigerator. It's got a horn.
It's got a horn and,
yep,
and frozen vegetables inside.
Like, yep, that. That's part of the attack. Somewhere there's political intrigue that has to do with, like, lettuce. It'll be like Spice and Wolf.
I would watch that show. Gundam refrigerator unicorn. Make it happen.
Oh, absolutely. So, going back to your writing, how do you handle those times when you're sitting down, and you're looking at the page, and you're like, I don't have anything to put here? How do you deal with those?
Thankfully, with the anime script adapting, at least, I'm never completely out to sea, just because I already have the video elements, it's already animated, you know, the plot is already there. I really only just have to worry about fine-tuning the dialogue for an English-speaking audience, making sure it fits the flat, making sure that the characterizations are consistent. So, at least with the work I do for anime, I'm never faced with blank page, OMG. That said, you know, the screenwriting stuff I've done, I've had those moments. But for me, personally at least, I find deadlines to be a great motivator. It's not always to my credit. Sometimes if I don't have a deadline, if it's just left up to me to write something, you know, that I want to do, I'll just let it slide. But if somebody gives me a deadline, suddenly I am in, like, good worker bee mode. Mm. I will meet that deadline. I will go to stupid lengths to meet that deadline. Even if it's just some arbitrary number somebody gave me. I mean, that's sort of what I was a creative writing major, and then I did it again for grad school, and that's part of what the program is just a series of externally imposed deadlines that you then adhere to. I find a lot of times just walking away from it for a while and coming back helps. Staring at the page, you start psyching yourself out. You're like, why am I not writing? Oh my god, I'm wasting time. Nothing's coming. Just putting it down, reading a book, playing a game, watching a movie, taking a nap.
Running off to In-N-Out Burger or something.
You know, something. Just getting away from it and coming back the next day or a little bit later, and suddenly your brain's had a chance to do something else. You're like, oh, okay. Okay, I've got something. I've got something I can do. Other people, I've tried this sometimes, they say just write. Even if you don't have an idea, just start writing. Just prime that pump. And maybe you'll write a couple pages or a couple paragraphs that are kind of crappy, but eventually your brain will be like, okay, we're writing. Here are some ideas. And then you can just get rid of the stuff that you started with that was just sort of get the ball rolling. So, a couple strategies.
So, real quick question. This one has to do with what you've been working on. Why should we be excited about Tiger and Bunny and Steins Gate? Sell them to me.
Tiger and Bunny is, it's superheroes. Everyone loves superheroes, and they especially right now are sort of the genre du jour. I mean, we have seen that you can take sort of this cloistered niche, quote-unquote, nerd pursuit, put it into movie form, and make a bajillion dollars. And it's about superheroes who are basically doing a reality show, going around, saving people, getting points. Also, it's sort of the buddy cop flick genre, which is really fun. You've got the old guy who's sort of jaded and seen it all, and he's the old guard. And then you've got the new up-and-comer who's the hotshot, and he's got his own ideas. And there are reasons that these, you know, tropes are so popular, because they work, they're fun. It's, I think it's also, for the, you know, the people that care about this sort of thing, it's the kind of thing that you can show someone who's not an anime fan, and I think they'll dig it. I mean, there's some shows where it should not be your first anime. But Tiger and Bunny is one of those that I think could be for folks. You know, it doesn't have a real high bar for entry. It's superhero, buddy cop show, doing their thing.
I mean, the live action one could have Bruce Willis and,
Justin Lemon.
Oh, I was going to go for a guy from. Guy who plays Iron Man, and then his just name just slipped out. Like,
whoop.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
But
totally.
It's that sort of thing that would work with the Western sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't have to meet it halfway. You can be like, I live in the U.S., I don't know about Japan, I don't know about anime, and be like, here, watch this thing, and dig it. Mm-hmm. And Steins Gate, probably the best show I've ever worked on. I mean, even just the Japanese version, you're already starting with something that's so finely crafted and nuanced. It's amazing. It is an amazing show.
So just amazing.
Yeah, I realize that's not very articulate as far as selling people on it, but I mean, I've worked on a lot of things, and this is right up there. I would highly, highly recommend people to watch it. I really don't think anyone's going to come away from that being like, what did I just watch? That's disappointing.
Mm.
I wouldn't say that about everything. You know, I'm not one to just be like, oh my god, this thing I worked on is the best thing ever, and the thing I work on next week will be the best thing ever, and the thing I worked on 2 weeks ago is the best thing ever. Steins Gate is amazing. And if you ever ask J. Michael Tatum about Steins Gate, he plays the lead, and he also did the screen adaptation. He will convince you in terms far more articulate than I am that it is amazing. Or he might just grab you by the shoulders and shake you and be like, buy Steins Gate. Do it now. Go. I will come with you. Come on, we're going to the dealer. I could see him doing that.
Hmm. Him violently shaking the fans, huh?
You know, for Steins Gate, you might.
Well, we gotta wrap this up a little bit. So, anything you'd like to plug before we go?
Nothing specific project-wise, just the general thank you to the fans for your zeal and your enthusiasm and for supporting your hobby in a way that allows us to make more of it, for not just torrenting or anything. Thank you for buying the shows and buying the merchandise and making this sustainable for all of us, you know, for you guys and for us. So thank you.
Thank you very much for the interview. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. We're here at NonDeskCon 2012 with
Patrick Seitz.
And good night.
Find Amelia Earhart's fate, a golden cake without a sell-by date. See missing socks of every size and shape. Open a box with the lost Nixon tape. Cool things to find, so many cool things to find. Cool things to find, so many cool things to find. Meet a friend that hugs your face, and a cat in a peculiar place. Learn to love and find your mate. Avoid those who hate and exterminate. Cool things to find, so many cool things to find. Cool things to find, so many cool things to find. Help a friend that seems a bit encumbered. Play a game with a long-awaited number.
significant amounts of Martian methane. Discover high levels of moisture in soil. Find microbial life beyond Earth for the first time. It may not rhyme, but they're quite possibly the coolest things to find. Coolest things to find. Coolest things to find. So many cool, so many cool things to find.
Stay curious. A message from Cinesaurus.
And welcome back to Radio DMG again. You know what? I love the fact that that little dumb ways to die thing became such a quick meme, and they were all pretty quality. Yeah, anyways, that was our episode. It's kind of long, kind of spoilery. We will put in some little timestamps so people can skip past the ridiculous block of ranting and spoilers. That is our newsity. And, well, what are we going to do next? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be pretty cool. I don't think I announced all the things for Gold Thingies, and I got kind of carried away there. But, hey, I need to sleep. You probably need to sleep. Things happen. So, thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and good night. Remember to spay and neuter your fanboys and girls.
Sharing ideas with everyone, that's why copying is